two. G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Frickin' Radio. You've just joined us because the podcast has just started, so you clearly just got it here. Anyways, this is your one-stop shop for a bit of Aussie banter, bit of gaming-related discussions, reviews, previews. Well, we haven't actually had a preview yet, but I'm sure it's coming. But yeah, thank you for joining us, as always. Appreciate you. My name is Cap, Captain Perth. And alongside me, as we have every week, is Pavlova Face and Grizzly Gaming 86. Or is it just Grizzly 86?
Ahoy, ahoy. Oh, not officially. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to change it. I'm not going to change my Twitch name. It's not going to happen.
So, Grizz, talk us through it. You basically, you've had a bit of a midlife crisis with your Twitch name.
I absolutely have. I decided that it's a fucking gaming platform, right? Like, I feel like
not
Grizzly,
really.
Well, not really, but I feel like Grizzly Gaming is a bit of a, you know, it's just, it doesn't need to have the gaming part. So there were a couple available, Grizzly AU, underscore AU, or Grizzly WA, or a couple of others, or
Grizzly
AU
is not too bad.
Grizzly AU is not too bad, yeah. But I don't know, man, I think I'm just going to leave it. I don't know. Yeah. What do you guys think? What do you guys think?
Well, I think my comment in your stream the other night kind of summed it up pretty well.
What did you say?
I was like, yeah, mate, fucking, I've never seen you play any video games in your channel. All you do is just talk about fucking grizzly bears.
Yeah, very true.
I feel like you selected the incorrect part of your name to use as your identifier.
So just be gaming. I reckon gaming probably.
Gaming 86.
Gaming 86, mate.
Yeah, that's I don't see anything wrong with that. Oh, my God. But look, how are we going, guys? You feeling better now, mate? You got over your COVID?
Yeah, I'm going pretty good. Still a little rough around the edges, but pretty much like I'm back to 100, to be honest.
Yeah.
With
you. Oh, that's good. It took me ages.
You fucking
to get
passed
back
it on to me, mate. I've got a case of the big old man flu at the moment. I actually didn't go to work today. Stayed at home with my middle daughter who's also unwell, and I literally had like a 2-hour sleep this afternoon. I was just feeling completely out of it.
That sounds great. I mean, I know you're not feeling well, but fuck, that sounds good.
It was nice because it was all raining as well.
Yeah.
It was like real rainy. And I don't know what your bedrooms are like, but ours have like blackout blinds, so it's like pitch black in there. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Amazing. Very, very jealous of that. I went to work today, which was, you know, it was work. It was good. It was fine. You know, it's just working, right? Mm-hmm. But now, Grizz. We had a bit of a D&D session yesterday.
Yeah. All right, let me run you through this. So we had our second Dungeons & Dragons session on Saturday. Sunday. I lose track of my weekend days.
Yesterday.
Anyway, I've got a little story. I think the highlight of the episode for me was, so I play a rogue called Cardell, who's a deep gnome rogue, and we found ourselves in a cave, and there was three dancing zombies. And we decided to engage these dancing zombies. And I'm level 2, right? And I don't know if you know much about D&D, but essentially a level 2 rogue gets this thing called it's an extra bonus action where you can basically run in, stab a guy, use a bonus action to disengage, and then you can run away. So then you're out of safety. Well, there was one zombie left, and I decided that I would, rather than disengaging and running away, I would use my bonus action to attack with my offhand. I'd already attacked with my main hand. I missed the attack roll, didn't kill the zombie. He turns around to me, natural 20, crits me, takes off more than half of my fucking health. I die. I'm bleeding out on the floor. I roll a natural 1 for my death save, which means I fail 2 death saves straight up. And pretty much shit the bed right there. Nearly game over, Cap. Pretty close.
A hilarious series of events. It was pretty fucking epic. But yeah, it was a good session. I mean, you know, that was quite hilarious. And Pete got a little bit shitty because he had to fucking heal you instead of attacking.
He's a druid, and he was in his wolf form, which he only gets to do. I think he can change form twice in a long rest. He had to come out of his direwolf form to heal me, to get me up, and he can't go back into direwolf form. So it's kind of like, you bloody idiot.
He wasn't stoked. It was like, yeah, this will be a fucking, this will be a good lesson for you, pal.
So well, it was good. A bit of a lesson. See, dude, I thought like having 12 hit points, my maximum is 17, or level 2. I
dude,
thought I would have been like
fucking fine. Nothing. Yeah. It is fuck all, especially at level 2. Like, still bugger all. Now, there was some pretty amazing puns in that particular session. I think the best one, though, Grizz, was when we walked into that room and there was full of dead bodies, and then we ended up fighting some skeletons, and then we couldn't find any more places to go in there. And then I said, this looks like it's a bit of a dead end.
Did you say some gnome one as well that no one fucking picked up on, mate? I can't remember what that was.
Yeah, what did I say? Can't remember what it was. Oh, it'll come to me, though. It was a fucking cracker. Yeah, it was like, I wish you'd known better or something like that. That's good. Anyways, but yeah, anything else happened on the weekend, Grizz?
Give it to I streamed on Friday night, Cap, for the first time a long time, and I had an absolute cracker time. I actually ended up doing a shoey and just having a good old chin wag to people I haven't spoken to for a while. Really enjoyed it. Yeah,
so what's a shoey for those that don't know?
It's where you pour alcohol into a shoe and you drink out of it.
Right.
It's an Australian pastime.
Why do you do that, Grizz?
Well, you see, it is a bit of folklore here in Australia where they think it boosts the immune system.
Once upon a time.
By pumping your body full of things that shouldn't be in there, like toe fungi.
Yeah, fucking, what, like athlete's foot?
Athlete's foot, yeah. Bit of tinnitus. Is that, wait.
No, you're thinking of what I've got in the ears. What do they call that shit in between your toes?
Is it tinnitus in the toes? I don't know, something like that. Starts with a T.
You might be right, actually. Maybe I'm getting confused now.
What about you, mate? Anything else happen on the
weekend? Well, I had a beer on Friday night, and that was my first beer in almost 2 months, which was quite the length of abstinence for myself. It's probably one of my longest running abstinent sessions, excluding the one between, you know, years, you know, one onwards. But yeah, it was good. I had a few tins, which was nice. What did I do on Saturday? Didn't do an awful lot on Saturday. Just kind of cruised around, but been playing a bit more Xenoblade Chronicles 3, which has been pretty good.
You rate it, Cap? You rate it, mate?
Yeah, look, do you know what? It's a really good RPG, JRPG, I will say. But I just it is missing something, and I think what it's missing is the big issue for me with that game is normal difficulty is too easy, and it just feels like I'm fucking like just setting and forgetting my heroes, and then the hard difficulty is just like silly in some instances. Still maintainable, but again, it kind of just doesn't really feel like the combat system, the way that they implement the way that your character is positioned and where you, how you, all your characters have different roles like tank, healer, attacker. It doesn't really feel like they're making the most of those mechanics, and it kind of just feels like they're kind of meaningless because of the flow of combat. And then you're going in between these big combos with your characters fusing together to do these special big attacks, and then you're doing these special chain attacks, which you basically go from action combat into like choosing what you want to do for these special chain attacks. And it just, I don't know, just, yeah, I just feel like, they could have done more to maybe put some more environmental hazards in that kind of really restrict your characters and enforce those roles a little bit better. But I mean, the game's really good, and I think they've done a really good job of the characters. Definitely feel like it's been an improvement on the previous games. But yeah, I just, I'm kind of just at the stage now, Grizz.
Could have been a bit better, mate. Could have been a bit better.
Yeah, it kind of sucks because I kind of feel like I just want to finish the game now. Like, I'm kind of just over it. And I just want to kind of, and because I'm so invested in the game, I've spent a lot of hours in it. Now I'm kind of like, I just need to fucking finish this game so I can get to the end cutscenes and figure out what's going on. Because all the storyline from number 3 kind of weaves the storylines of 1 and 2 into one another. And so it's kind of, that's what you're kind of working towards. But yeah, the game's pretty decent. But yeah, I think, my little gripe with it.
Now, Cap, a few weeks ago now, probably a month ago, we had the Devolver Digital showcase. Now,
yes.
Cult of the Lamb is releasing on Thursday.
I saw that fucking coming. Yeah. Oh, is that, let me have a look on the store page. Because I saw that too, and I wanted to mention it. Then I just
A bunch of people got some pre-release keys, and I panicked this morning and went, "Fuck! I need to go apply for one because I'd love to stream it before it's released." And I applied for one and haven't heard back. So Devolver Digital, if you're out there, you want to give me a key before Thursday, flick it through. But dude, it looks awesome, man. So it has like I don't want to spoil the story for anyone that is listening here, but there is some Twitch integration stuff in that game that is really interesting. So you basically have like this town hub thing, and the people that are following your cult are all members of Twitch chat. Twitch chat can design what their characters look like and bits and pieces.
That's
and
cool.
Go, and you go and assign them to different bits of your town.
That's cool.
Do cool things. So it looks that's really cool. I will 100% be picking
it
up.
Do you know what? That is
a
significant amount of time investment in terms of dev to get something like that happening. For what you initially will probably think, oh, what a kind of useless kind of thing for the vast majority of cohort of players. But when you think about it, man, the amount of fucking copies of video games that Twitch must sort of sell by pure advertisement on people's streams must be fucking bonkers. So
huge,
it's such
dude.
A smart way to increase the amount of draw that your game kind of has, and probably also get people streaming on Twitch, which is good for Twitch.
Well, that whole Among Us blowing up a couple of years cap was because I can't remember, it was either Soda Poppin' or one of those big streamers started playing it, and it just literally just grew like wildfire and came from this game that was like a small indie one into something that was hugely
Soda
successful.
Popped off.
So
yeah,
that's it, mate. You just need that. I think Twitch is a really good media for game devs to try to capitalize on to sell the game for sure.
I'm so keen on Cult of the Lamb. It looks really fucking radical.
It looks wicked,
I do kind of just slurp up anything that Devolver Digital kind of wants to put on a plate for me. I'm just going to read this out for those at home that maybe missed our episode where we went through what it was. But start your own cult in a land of false prophets, venturing out into diverse and mysterious regions to build a loyal community of woodland followers and spread your word to become the one true cult. Now, it's kind of... So action roguelike, dungeon crawler, and it's also kind of got elements of, I guess, like survival RTS kind of shit going on. But and then it's also kind of, it kind of combines almost Binding of Isaac style.
Roguelite combat stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but even artwork, you know, the art's kind of almost, it's kind of in the similar vein as Binding of Isaac, which I believe is also maybe a Devolver Digital title. Can't remember.
Binding of Isaac's super fucking old. That, you know, that was originally came out on a Flash. It was just on the web, a web Flash browser.
Was it one of those games?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know that Flash, you can't use Flash anymore?
Can you not? What do you mean?
It's completely, like, Google doesn't support it anymore. Flash Player.
Oh, wow.
Adobe also doesn't support Adobe Flash Player. So I think it completely fucked a lot of those old, like, you know, Miniclip and stuff like that. Like, I think it really fucked those websites up, because I mean all those games are fucking Flash games, baby.
Do you remember that stick man website where
Death or whatever it was called?
Yeah, Stick Death, whatever it was. You can do all the different
Did you ever play Stick Man Cricket?
I think that was
a tight game. There was so many good games. I remember there was this one game where it was like a little rectangular paddle, and it was like in your peripheral, and then you had this ball bouncing between, kind of going in and out of the screen as if it like bouncing to a new thing. And you could do, it was like, it was like Pong on steroids. But so many good Flash games. But anyways, Grizz, enough about Flash games. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about some real games.
Some real life.
Hardcore gaming. This first story. is nuts. But look, before we jump into the actual stories themselves, firstly, as always, just want to say a big old thank you to our wonderful Patreons that continue to support this goddamn little podcast of ours. Goddamn it, we frickin' appreciate you. Sukai, Moosey, Hoen Honey, Caging Run, and Sergeant Paul. You know, you guys are the five amigos that just continue to support this stream of us every bloody month or whenever the payment comes out. Regardless, we appreciate you. Now, just so you know that this money is actually going towards something useful, we're going to be giving the whole lot to Pav because he needs a new computer, because we basically figured out it's definitely his PC that has been shit in the bed recently. So we believe the podcast audio issues should be sorted this week.
If you were really observant, which I'm hoping all of you are, you would have noticed every 10 minutes on the dot, there was a buffer.
Yeah.
Loss of audio.
It's probably going to continue on Twitch for a little while, but I think I've sorted it for the recordings on Spotify. So let's see after this episode.
Spotify and your favorite podcasting platforms. So there you go. So that money is actually going towards something instead of us being like, and the money's going back into the stream. Like, it actually is going back into it. So it's going towards the guy that's recording all this shit. So
cocaine and hookers.
Cocaine and hookers.
That's the code word for Pab's PC. Yep.
But yeah. So anyways, thanks, Patreons. Bloody appreciate you. Now, as always, we also record this live from Twitch every Monday night, Australian Western Standard Time. You can come and join us and watch live as we record this bad boy. Or you can go and fucking listen to it like you probably are right now if you're not watching live via podcast on whatever platform you like. So there you fucking go. Now, what have we got on the agenda for tonight? Well, let me tell you, it's packed. It's absolutely fucking packed. Firstly, we've got some interesting, crazy, amazing, cool VR shit that's happened recently with in the world of surgery. So, not exactly gaming, but gaming applications. So that's a very interesting story.
Gamers are basically surgeons now, Cap. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, we played what's that Surgeon Simulator one? Mm-hmm. You know, that's pretty close. Yeah. Yeah, Pav's making a hand motion. I don't know what that is.
Hand simulator.
Oh, hand simulator. I thought you were putting in like a rubber glove on. I don't know what was going on. Anyways, all right, so we've got that. And then so a bit of Diablo stuff has been leaking out of the leaky old boat, and a bit of information coming out regarding the Diablo 4 release. We've also got a metric shitload of Pokemon news, featuring all kinds of Pokemon IP franchises. So if you're a Pokemon nerd, oh my God, you're going to be fucking stoked. You probably already know all this shit if you're a Pokemon nerd, because that's the kind of people Pokemon nerds are. But we're going to seek out every inch of little information. And then a bunch of shit has happened with EA. Good, bad, mostly bad. In fact, pretty much all bad. Anyways, we'll get into it. Involving The Sims and other things. And as always, we've got the poll for you and the quick fire. But without further ado, shall we, Grizzly Gaming 86?
Let's do it,
do you want to fucking start us off with the first one?
Why not, Cap? So recently, Twitch chat and podcasters, surgeons used VR headsets to separate conjoined twins. Now, it's a bit of an interesting one. So what they were able to do is they actually created...
Before we do anything, Grizz, actually, should do a trigger warning for anyone that are not super keen on medical...
surgery.
Surgery-related things. Hospital things. Because mm-hmm. I'm not super keen on them anyway.
So Cap, you just mind turning your headset off, mate, all right?
I'll be right back. I'll leave you there.
No, look, we're not going to talk about any of the gory stuff. But yes, if this does make you queasy, maybe switch off for a second. Look, this is really interesting, Cap, because what they did is they made like a model of the anatomy of the conjoined twins. And they had a pretty interesting diagnosis where their brains were essentially fused. So trying to figure out exactly how to separate them was challenging, and they'd tried a lot of different techniques. And what was interesting about this, Cap, is they had a digital operating room with surgeons from around the world, and they were basically trialing different ways in the VR, kind of using VR to go and do that, and then basing how they went in VR, how successful it was. So using a modeled anatomy for these conjoined twins. So
yeah,
the actual surgery is... You go, Cap. Yeah.
I was just going to say, so they literally basically fully created a model of the boys and so that they could test how to go about performing the surgery in real life, I assume. That's kind of the idea, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. So yes, they knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they had proven it to be successful in VR. So to come out of it the other end and it'd be successful. So it was 27 hours, the procedure, Cap. Apparently Jesus. Over 100 medical staff involved in the procedure as well. So pretty groundbreaking stuff. I believe that VR headsets have been used in the past, but I wanted to pose this to you, Cap. Are we going to get to a stage here where it's not going to be an actual surgeon who's doing your operation, but more of a robot?
Do you know what? I'm going to be honest, because I kind of just skimmed this article because I don't really like reading medical shit. But I thought it was.
Did you?
So yeah, I was right. Holy fuck. So they've got a robot or some shit doing this and they're fucking just going in there going. D-d-d-d-d. But it makes a lot more sense as to, you know, what actually happened. But yeah, dude, I don't see any reason why, you know, maybe minor surgeries couldn't be conducted in VR using a robot. It would probably be more sterile, for example, I would assume. There's probably certain reasons you might utilize that instead of, you know, a live human.
So I don't know whether you dealt with this in your geo background, Kat, but in like a health and safety background, kind of what I work in, oil and gas, you actually try to eliminate humans doing things because human error is a thing. People make
mistakes. I do that at work as well, mate. I eliminate me doing things as much as I possibly can.
So a lot of the mine sites in rural Western Australia and bits and pieces, it's all like most of it, they have trucks that are driving, that are driven using technology. A lot of it, they've just removed the human error picture from that altogether, and it's all autonomous bits and pieces, you know, using modelling and, you know, our cars these days, man. Like my father-in-law got stopped at a booze bus the other day, Cap, and the policeman went up to breathalyze it in the front seat. And his car had one of those things. If someone gets too close to the bonnet, it will literally slam on your brakes and steer the car away from whatever it is that has gone safely. This cop went a bit too close to him and the full car just went and like did this big brake, and the cop was thinking that he was being an idiot kind of thing. But completely out of his control, you know?
So it's just like, trying to explain that to the cop. They're like, oh, okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Blow into this, please, mate. Classic. Yeah, but look, honestly, mate, I think VR applications are just becoming more and more, you know, everyday life kind of shit. Like, I know that there's been like a lot of push for training people to do certain things, especially mining-wise, underground and stuff like that, using VR headsets before people, you know, get put into. Absolutely. So driving big things like loaders and shit like that, there's been a push towards using VR headsets to try and train people up before they actually put them on the tools, basically. But, man, the applications are just fucking nuts. Crazy.
I guess it's pretty much the closest thing you'll get to actually doing the real thing, right? You know, that's the closest you can get to doing it.
So absolutely. I suppose the only difference really, though, Grizz, is I guess the control, like your controller, how do you control? Because obviously you got the headset, so how do you control your interface, right? So I suppose that'll probably be, you'll probably find that in the next five or so years, maybe that'll probably be where a lot of the money goes. Maybe, I mean, the VR headsets, there's only, I mean, I'm sure there's things you can do in terms of making the experience more realistic and whatnot. But I think the way that you interface and actually perform activities within the VR space is going to be really important, especially for maintaining that atmosphere and drawing you in and giving you the ability to maybe have something that's a little bit more closer to the real life, especially when it comes to things like training and stuff, right? So, I mean, I don't know fuck all about VR. I haven't even got a VR headset. I'm thinking the VR for PlayStation 5 might be the way to go.
I think I've told you this. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but I have never been in VR ever.
I've been in VR.
I have never put a VR headset on.
In fact, me and Pav were on TV. We were.
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah. I got interviewed and everything. It was sick.
Famous.
Famous VR man. But, yeah, so there you go. Well, very, very interesting story there, Grizz. And, hopefully a sign of, you know, things to come. I'm sure that this could be, because I think the whole idea, Grizz, was that they tried to go in a couple of times already. Mm. And they basically failed. And so this enabled them to model all of the intertwined sort of muscle structures and bits and pieces so that they're able to actually kind of
almost,
you know,
trial things before getting into the surgery itself and figure out what was going to work.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Paid off. Mm.
Absolutely freaking crazy. But yeah, so there you go. Now, Grizz, Diablo 4, it's on track. Oh. And they've announced the following. Mm-hmm. Cross-play and cross-progression.
Awesome. To
me. Cross-platforms. Wow.
Cross-platforms, yes. So, Cap, I'm assuming that Diablo 4 is going to be released on Switch like Diablo 3 was released on Switch. And
you reckon?
Well, I would be very surprised if it wasn't coming to Switch, dude. Like,
well, yeah, I suppose so. But, man, how... Diablo 4 looks pretty good, like in terms of graphical capability there.
Maybe
it'll
run at 160p or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll be like super fucking shit.
Look like you actually are playing fucking old Mario or some shit on it. Yeah, okay.
The Diablo 3, apparently, a lot of people were kind of saying, oh, it's never going to work on a console. Like, I feel like the Diablo franchise without a mouse and keyboard. But it's supposed to be awesome, dude, on a controller. Diablo 3.
Yeah, it works really well. I actually think in some ways it kind of works better because there's a lot of, like, I think even Diablo 3, I think the whole kind of the way that you position your character to perform spells and whatnot, you know, with AoE abilities and kind of cone of effect kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I just kind of feel like it makes a lot more sense on a fucking controller. You know what I mean?
Crazy.
Like,
because that's exactly what happened. This Reddit thread, someone posted one a long time ago when Diablo 3 came to Switch, I think it was, or maybe PlayStation 4, and it was like, I feel sorry for all those nerds playing on consoles. And then it was basically like the whole thread was saying it actually plays better on a console than it does on PC. Yeah. Like, it feels more natural and, I just
think it makes more sense because, like, think about, like, your character. Like, you know, your character is the point of origin, right? And so everything you're doing is 360 degrees around that character, and that's what a fucking control stick is. It's a revolving 360 degree thing. Like, and so when you apply that in there, it makes more sense. And I have played Diablo 3 on consoles, and I preferred it. And I think I'll definitely be playing Diablo 4 with a controller. Do you think you will, Grizz? I mean, it depends on, I suppose, how many abilities and stuff and how well
I have it on PC, I think I'll play it on mouse and keyboard. Because I'm I don't know, what do you say? The originals, it's kind of how I would like to play the game. But the cross-play thing, Cap, I think is going to be awesome for it. You know, one thing that I really enjoyed about getting a tablet was playing Magic the Gathering Arena on my tablet and then coming home to my PC. So, like, I'd start an arena run, right, and I'd pick my deck and maybe I'd play a couple of games on the train and then sit down on my PC at night and I'd finish off my arena run. But I think cross-platform play, I think, is going to be, and progress between the platforms is going to be pretty sweet.
It makes a lot of sense, though, right, having that in games these days. And, I mean, the lines are blurring so much these days, aren't they? Like, between consoles and everything else. I suppose I think it's a smart decision by Blizzard to pump it out. See, I suppose back in the olden days, Grizz, when Diablo 3 was out, they didn't have the ability to do cross-play and progression because none of these systems spoke to one another. Like, you know, that was by design. You know, Sony never wanted to come to the party for cross-play for the most part. You know, Microsoft did it by virtue of the fact that they kind of needed to because, well, let's be honest, at one point they were losing the console race. You know, Nintendo just did Nintendo things. So, but, you know, in recent years, obviously, we've had a really big push towards, cross-play.
Like Fortnite came quite early on enabling cross-play. Being able to be in a lobby with, you know, I could play with someone on PlayStation or Xbox or it didn't matter what gaming system you had, being able to team up and play. Was pretty early on.
Yeah, definitely one of the front runners. I actually vaguely remember Rocket League being one of the first as well.
Is that right?
That was a big one. But yeah, I think ultimately, Grizz, a good business decision because, yeah, like we said, back in the old days, it was kind of smart to release the game and then release it for another console like the Switch down the track because then you'd get another surge in sales again.
That's
because
right.
people go, oh, fuck, it's on the Switch. Sweet. I love that game. Whereas now, you're almost better off doing this from the get-go because then people go, oh, well, I'll buy this on PC. And then they go, oh, man, I could play more Diablo if I played on my fucking Switch right now. So buy that as well.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. I would love to be able to sit on the train. I'm on an hour every morning on the train.
Yep.
Play Diablo 4 on the train on my Switch, if it comes to Switch. I'm hoping it does, maybe.
Yeah.
And then, have that cross-play to be able to sit on my PC and have the same save file. Be pretty sweet, mate.
Now, the one thing I'm thinking, Grizz, and this is one thing that makes me, I don't know about worried, but just how they're going to implement it is if they're going to be doing cross-play, I would have thought from a technical point that they would have to set it up in a way that it's going to be always online multiplayer single player shit.
So you're always going to need an internet connection?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think is going to be a problem for people like yourself on the bus.
So Hades does it.
Hades, always online?
No. Oh, sorry. So I get what you're saying. No. So you're saying, so Hades has got this thing where you can save progress between your PC and your Switch, but it will tell you once you finish your session that your game hasn't been saved to the cloud.
Right. Okay.
And you need to do that if you want to then go and access what you've done on your
PC. Oh, elsewhere. Yeah. Right. Fuck. Okay. That would make sense. It'd be interesting to see how deep they go in on that with Diablo 4 because, I mean, obviously it's a big technical difficulty to ensure that that progression is maintained, and also you're probably going to be worried about people maybe reverse engineering some funky shit and giving themselves fucking, you know, all kinds of bullshit hacks and
I'm
stuff.
I'm with you. I think Diablo 4 is going to be an online thing. I actually think Diablo 4 is going to, it's going to get hate from this, but it's going to be similar to what we've seen in Diablo Immortal, where it's an online game, right?
Yeah.
And you've got these areas of open worldiness with public events and bits and pieces, yeah, is kind of what they've said.
Yeah. Now, Debiroman TV in chat saying, I thought Diablo 4 was going to be an MMO. Now, I suppose it depends on your definition of an MMO. Mm. If you've seen the recent trailers, you know, there are a lot of MMO elements. Like there's big world bosses and stuff that you can tackle with a bunch of people. I can't remember how many people on the screen at one time, but it was vaguely like 10 or so people. So, but if you look at the way that they introduced Diablo Immortal or Immoral, that a lot of that takes place in persistent world areas where you are interacting with people that you don't even have on your friends list and stuff. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a similar setup, I would imagine. So,
I kind of picture it to be a bit like the way that Destiny 2 kind of runs, Cap, where, like you say, these persistent world areas and you load into like a certain instance of people that are in that world area. And then I have heard they're going to have things like public events and other bits and pieces where, and world bosses and things that'll spawn in whatever that area you're in, and you'll team up with whoever's loaded into that zone and do that particular quest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm fucking excited.
I'm surprised, Cap, and I wanted to just quickly chat about this for a second, but in terms of like JRPGs, Diablo likes, I feel like there's...
You mean action RPGs?
Action RPGs. Action RPGs, sorry. So like, you know, PoE, Diablo 3.
Yep.
We haven't had any groundbreaking ones basically for a long time. I think Walsen came around and people were really excited about that and it kind of failed basically when it came out. It looked great but was really poorly balanced and the devs didn't do anything to save it and it's no one's playing it now. But you know, I honestly cannot believe that we have gone from Diablo 3 and we've waited this long to have a decent action RPG come out. I'm just so excited for Diablo 4 to drop.
Well, I mean, we kind of had Lost Ark, which was that kind of pay-to-win, weird, like MMO ARPG thing going on from Korea. And we also had Grim Dawn was in there as well. That wasn't
Grim
too
Dawn.
Bad.
Yeah, yeah, Grim Dawn a go, and that was pretty good.
Do you know what, though, Grizz?
Fill the void.
It's such a hard genre to get right, and I feel like
I keep telling myself that I think it might be an easy win, but I think you're right. I think it's really hard to balance.
It's a hard one to nail, dude. Exactly. It comes down to, and we've discussed it before on this podcast, dude, is the numbers game of trying to get all the numbers spot on so that the difficulty curve is just fucking the Goldilocks zone, dude, you know? Get it just right. But I think, you know, and also I'd really feel, Grizz, that, and I know I do it, and it's the same for MMOs for me. You know, I just go, oh, it's not quite Diablo, you know, when I play a different game.
I'm the same. Dude, Path of Exile is that. But I will say, though, Cap, Path of Exile, with the size of those skill trees and the nodes, the balance in that game is always excellent, and they've done a good job with their seasons. But like you say, it's that the art style does not do it for me, and it never will. And no matter how many times I go try to sink my teeth into that game, I just end up walking away and going,
dude. And you know what? Like, and guys in chat at the moment are sort of also pointing out Path of Exile's, you know, pretty popular, and absolutely, it's super popular. But I don't know. I also find the just the talent system so obscenely off-putting. You know, when you see how big that thing is, like, yeah, it's just, it's honestly disgusting. And I know I've had mates be like, oh, mate, it's not that bad. You know, once you get into it, you kind of off you go. But the thing is, when there's that much shit to, like, I feel like there's no real, like, player onus over your progression, because then you go, oh, it's too fucking hard. I'm just gonna find a guide online and just go with whatever that is and not really build my own thing, because how can you ever become, like, you know, reasonably good at figuring out a build at that stage? You know, it's literally like a star constellation. There's, for every fucking star in the night sky, there's a node on your fucking Path of Exile character sheet that you could potentially fill out. You know,
so Cap, last time I played this was with Jimmy and Wilza, and I decided that I wasn't gonna look at any fucking guides, and we played. I really like playing hardcore, obviously, in action RPGs. That's what I, you know, Diablo 3, Diablo 2, Diablo 1, always hardcore. So hardcore Path of Exile, me and Jimmy start these characters, not looking at any guides, in we go, get to the first boss, Jimmy gets clamped, dies, and it's like
my favorite. That's my favorite.
Yeah, classic.
But yeah. Well, anyways, mate, I'm very excited for Diablo 4 regardless. You know, it God fuck's sakes, I wish Blizzard were doing more to not be such a shit stain company, but I don't know. You know, they haven't, I guess they haven't probably, I don't think they've been as shit stainy as recently, but you know, hopefully they can produce a decent game and you know, they treat their employees with respect moving forward. But now, Grizz, the other thing that happened with Diablo 4, a little bit of alpha gameplay leaked. Now, it wasn't really gameplay. It was kind of like the first.
Did you watch the video, Kat?
Yeah. Did you watch it? For those at home, basically some idiot. So Blizzard do this quite regularly with all their games, is they have the friends and family alpha play test, basically. And so people who are within the company, they can give out codes to their friends and family, and they can come in and jump in and give those games a crack in their early alpha stage. Now, someone has basically recorded about 15 to 20 seconds worth of footage of them booting the game up and selecting a character and going. The guy's like, man, I really probably shouldn't be streaming this. And I was just like, yeah, no shit, idiot. And on top of that, he's even got, like, so these alpha builds tend to have watermarks and stuff on the back screen so they can identify people leaking shit. On it. Yeah. And so it's very fucking obvious who's done it, and they would know exactly who gave that code to that person. So that person who gave the code initially is going to get in the shit as well.
Going to get absolutely clamped. Anyway, Cap, what did we see? We saw a little bit, we saw the very Diablo-ified where you see the characters lined up around a campfire and you can kind of switch between the character. And we saw maybe five different characters there. And then he selected, I think it was the assassin, maybe, or the warrior.
He selected the druid.
The druid. And you can basically see quite a lot, because this is the thing, Cap. Diablo 3 wasn't very customization in terms of your character customization, like quite minimalistic. But this seemed a little bit more in depth. You could pick a different couple of different facial expressions and face body combos and bits and pieces in there. So I don't know.
Yeah. It in all honesty, Grizz, it wasn't really much more than we had already seen for the most part. But there was some interesting stuff surrounding the tutorial. So there was an option to basically be more handheld or less handheld, essentially. And, you know, they kind of showed off some of the, you know, customization options. I thought I saw the druid, and it was quite well, I mean, I think it looks really good so far. I'm so ready for another fucking Diablo game.
It looks
game.
Much the I just like how the clips, and this is off topic, this is nothing to do with the news or anything, but Cap, I really like how the clips that we've seen of videos and stuff have been a lot more dark and brooding. And a lot more violent compared to Diablo 3, which is a bit more cutesy. I think
it definitely seems like they're really, really, I don't know, leaning into the whole Diablo kind of, I don't know, you know, devilish demon kind of thing. And I mean, God, what do they call them? The nasty lady? The big bad lady?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember her name. But
Diablo 4
is
antagonist.
She is something. That
Lilith.
Lilith,
so she's the daughter of Mephisto. And she looks, dude, she is like scary. That fucking skin cloak
skin cloak, man. Ugh. They all get like covered in blood.
It kind of reminds me of, you ever watch Austin Powers and the guy's like keeping that gold member, and he's keeping that little box full of skin flakes. <That's right. laughs> And he's like eating the skin flakes. I don't know why, but that just reminded me of that. Anyways, looks fucking cool. All right. That's pretty much it for Diablo, I think, Grizz. Diablo 4. So it looks very fucking good. Now, Grizz, mm-hmm. Pokemon released a shitload of stuff, like absolute metric shit ton. And it was part of their Pokemon Presents.
Pav's raising his hand, Cap, for some reason. Yes, what's Pav? Up, Pav?
Just wondering if you want to start the segment off with the poll.
Yes. Actually, probably a good idea. You know, I think, do you know what? When we get to the Scarlet stuff, we'll chuck it at the front. But yeah, shitload of Pokemon news. Absolute shit ton. Mm-hmm. Mostly surrounding a few of their main IPs. Now, Pokemon Go, Pokemon Unite, the new Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, which is releasing, I think, later this year, Pav, is that correct? Yep. And Pokemon Cafe Remix. So look, let's dive in first, Grizz. So they did a big old Pokemon Presents like announcement trailer thing, live stream. It was about 20 minutes. Now, the first thing they sort of brought up was this Pokemon Go stuff that's been is coming soon, and it's surrounding Pokemon I've never fucking heard of. So, of the first major announcements, fans can now anticipate the Ultra Beast Pokemon, which made its appearance in the Moon/Sun series. This will be arriving in Pokemon Go in late August. So, you know, it's start of August now, so not too far away, during the Pokemon Go Fest finale event. And you'll be sure to see Nihiligo, Feramosa, Buzzwole, Zerkatry.
Pav's laughing at you, Cap.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. I don't know this Pokemon. I know red version, what's it called? Yellow version, and Grookey.
Grookey gang.
So, Grizz, hey, I did some research.
Yes, go. Give me your research.
Because I didn't know what an Ultra Beast Pokemon was. I was like, what the fuck does that mean? So, the Ultra Beasts infrequently appear from Ultra Wormholes. Dude, do you know what? I was thinking about this in the shower, Grizz, and I was like, we have gone from just like Pokemon monsters in the early days to fucking Pokemon coming out of wormholes. In the modern day era Pokemon games.
When they say wormholes, Cap, are they talking about holes made by worms in the ground? Or are they talking about like space wormholes?
They're talking about space-time continuum shit, dude. Yeah. So, anyways, so there's a bunch of different special Pokemon that can kind of exit out of these wormholes. And I'm guessing they're just like space Pokemon or some shit. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe Pav can like, come on, Pav, get in here.
All right. I believe they are Ultra Beasts. It's like not quite Pokemon, but also Pokemon. Look, I was giving you some shade when I wasn't on voice, but like between you and me, I'm a bit clueless as well. But they're Ultra Beasts, so they're different. They're like from another dimension, like Pokemon from another dimension.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I got out of it as well. Now, so they're kind of like, these crazy, crazy Pokemon. And dude, I tell you what, Buzzwole is a mad dog looking Pokemon.
He's like electric?
big red bug Pokemon that is just buff as fuck.
Fuck yeah.
Very rad.
So the in-game changes here, Cap. So trainers may additionally encounter Pokemon that might not normally be seen in the wild, and there will be some special research that grants an encounter with a mythical Pokemon called Shaymin. You can also attract Pokemon that aren't normally in your area through your incenses and other bits and pieces as well. So looks to be, if you are a Pokemon Go fan, looks to be some pretty sweet changes coming up.
Yeah, have you played Pokemon Go recently, Grizz?
I'm pretty sure I'm your friend. I'm pretty sure I'm friends with Kazi and Eric as well.
I'm pretty sure you're my friend as well.
Yeah, I haven't been on it for ages, man. I did quite like it, though. I do quite like it. Like,
It's good, but it kind of hits this certain point where I just can't be bothered. You know what I mean? Yeah, it just doesn't have enough to really keep me coming back.
You know, the thing that I liked about it the most, man, was the whole doing steps to open your eggs.
Yeah.
I thought that
absolutely,
was pretty
cool. It's smart. It's a good way to get you out and about, and you know, also get money in the Pokemon company's pocket as well. So, you know,
dude, the Pokemon very, very Go smart. Craze when that first landed. Holy
dude,
shit!
Nuts. Absolutely nuts. Can you remember those videos of like guys riding bikes? And they had like hundreds of fucking phones on their handlebars, and they're like pressing all the buttons, and oh my god, it was out of control, dude. Crazy. It was a moment in time, wasn't it? It was crazy, absolutely crazy. Yep. But yeah, so Pokemon Go, a bunch of shit coming really shortly. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll give it another crack for a little bit. I mean, me and Mia quite enjoyed just walking around just catching shit for a while there.
I've got a picture of Joyce and Lily that I've taken a photo of them next to a Zubat. And I thought that was pretty cool. Was it snap in time, mate? Because you could do it like in, so you can see the real world around you as well, you know? Whatever that's called. What's that called, Cap?
Augmented reality.
Augmented reality, that's right.
Yeah. I took a photo of Mia and a fucking, Charmander. In Kmart. I don't know why. I just found that photo to be so fucking funny, and I made it my Facebook profile picture for a while. It was awesome. But yeah, it's Pokemon Go. Now, Grizz, Pokemon Unite, a game I still haven't played yet. I've been meaning to give that a crack.
We should, considering we play a lot of Dota, mate. We should.
Yeah, we should go on. Surely we'd be the best at it then.
We could go pro, surely. Surely we could.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it looks like they're also bringing the Ultra Beast Pokemon into Pokemon Unite, by the sounds of things. Brand new Pokemon are coming to Unite in the future, including Ultra Beast and an adult. Ultra Beast, just full stop.
Ultra Beast Buzzwole, and an additional
3 new Pokemon that are slated for September. Presents also revealed a new quick battle type known as Pika Party. What is it? Pretty much all characters are Pikachu, including friends and foes. In addition, the mobile title Pokemon Masters EX will be getting a trainer lodge in its 3rd anniversary. I don't give a fuck about that. Let's talk about Pokemon Unite now. Grizz, I downloaded it for my Switch, but I never ended up playing it.
Did you really? We should give this a go, Cap. We should fucking give this a go, mate.
We could, you know, when you're kind of in bed and you're like, you're just hanging out with your partner and you're kind of just like, can't really be fuck getting on my computer. That's the moments in time when we should be playing this, Grizz. Just be fucking playing that shit, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's on phones now as well.
Jeez.
I think it is.
When I picture playing Dota or any kind of MOBA, I feel like you need to be real in the zone. But I reckon, I don't know, man. Pokemon Unite sounds like a laid back.
I think Pokemon Unite is pretty laid back, dude. We actually have a Pokemon Unite team, I think, for our, Ground Zero Gaming. Shout out to the legends that support us. But yeah, our esports team, whom we are affiliated with, have a Pokemon Unite team, which I believe did pretty well. But yeah, no, I'm just reading here now, Grizz. Pokemon Unite is certainly on mobile. Yep. Oh, and Pav's showing it on his phone.
Unite. Is it free to play? Is it free to play? You don't have to pay for it?
Yeah. Fully free to play. Just like Dota. Cool. You know, unless you want to buy all the skins and shit, which I assume Pokemon Unite would do, because, they're going to make money somehow. Mm. But yeah, so it doesn't say which Pokemon due. So I think they probably just were like, we have more Pokemon coming.
Reading here, they have announced the Ultra Beast Buzzwole.
That's the guy I said was really rad.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want to read his abilities because I don't really understand that. But also, there is some events planned for September as well, Cap. Look out for first anniversary special presents, including Unite licenses. I don't know what those are. Hollowware for Blastoise, Pikachu, Snorlax, and Sylveon. I assume they're like cosmetic items for those characters. First anniversary ones.
Hell yeah. Fucking go. Very fucking cool. We should give it a crack and report back, Grizz, just to sort of, I don't know how many people listen to this podcast play MOBAs, but I tell you what, man, some of my favorite MOBA moments have been playing games like Heroes of the Storm that are a much more light version of the classic MOBA experience.
Yeah.
Just kind of crazy.
Dota and League of Legends have an air of like toxicity.
Elitism. Toxicity.
Yep.
Yeah, it's brutal in there, dude.
It's brutal it's in there. Brutal in there. Heroes of the Storm never had that, man, when we played that game.
Yeah, Heroes was really chill, dude. I loved Heroes. Unfortunately, I mean, it's still going, but in Australia, you can barely play it, man. I remember last time I tried to queue in Heroes of the Storm, it took me about 10 to 15 minutes to get a game in my region. So it's basically dead here, but I know it's still they still crank over in the US a fair bit, but here in the AU, unfortunately, you can't really get a game very easily, and they've basically stopped supporting it now. They've formally said we're not producing any more content for this game anymore, but they'll keep the servers going for, you know, until it's not worth them keeping the servers going, basically. So, yeah, they're still making a little bit of money off it, I would assume, because people would be getting in there and, you know, buying some skins here and there. But, yeah. It's a sad, sad thing. But, yeah, now Grizz.
Yes, sir.
Pokemon Scarlet and Violet versions. They're coming later on in the year.
Whew.
We just got another info drop with the Pokemon Presents stuff. Now, before we jump into this, Grizz.
Yep.
Let's open up this week's poll now. So this week we asked people who their favorite Generation 9, being the next generation coming. Fuck, we're almost in double digits for the generations. That's nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Dude, that's absolutely nuts. I remember being a kid in Gen 1, baby, you know? Crazy. But yeah,
small pepper.
What is your favorite Generation 9 starter Pokemon? Now, do you want to go through the options, Grizz, and maybe just describe each one, just, you know, for those that don't really give a shit about Pokemon or whatever?
Yep. Sprigatito, the grass cat, obviously a grass cat. Fucoco, the fire croc, obviously a fire crocodile. And Quaxly, the tardy duckling, who's basically like Donald Duck, but a duckling. Your water type Pokemon there, Cap.
Yeah. Now, before we go into the outcomes here, Grizz.
Yeah,
who did you vote for?
Dude, I just really like Quaxly. I think he looks fucking cool. A bit of attitude, a bit of spark behind
him. He looks like a prep school kid duck. Yeah, that's what he looks like. Yeah, he's like a little prep school little turd duck.
I feel like he is different to the other two in terms of the way he kind of is drawn. So I think that'd be a cool starter. What about you? Yeah. What about you, Capo?
Look, I went Fucoco because it's like just insanely cute. I can't get over the big buck teeth on this little fire crocodile. He's so freaking cute. Sprigatito was pretty close second for me.
Oh, I'm absolutely on team Chompy boy. Fucoco is the
one. Oh, yeah?
He's a little chilly. He's a little chilly if you didn't know this.
Yeah, he's like a little habanero. Like, he's so cute. And yeah, I know a lot of people are frothing the grass cat. Basically, it's you know, I think
it's quite even across in like
it was pretty even across. But I'll let you go into it. You tell us. You give us.
Okay. All right. Bottom. Actually, this was a very close poll here, Cap. I don't know if you tracked this throughout its iterations, but there was a point in time when there was about 20 votes in there, and they were pretty much even across the board. So we had a tie for the bottom place at 28.9% for Sprigatito the grass cat and Quaxly the duckling. So the fire croc, who is your two favorites, fellas, took it out. 42.1% of the vote.
And understandable, you know, because it's the best starter. It's been proven indefinitely by this poll that we have every week. Now, as always, we hold this poll every week. We generally tend to put it on the weekend, but if we get it out earlier, later, you know. But if you want to vote in it next week, you're welcome to. You can do that. All you got to do is go and follow us on twitter.com/OGRshow. And, who knows what we'll be talking about next week. It'll all depend on what happens this week with news and whatever. But we tend to make it topical for the week. So, fucking very cool. All right. So, Grizz.
Yes, sir.
They showed us a lot of shit, dude. A lot of stuff.
Yes.
Think the first major thing was the fact that they basically released the name of the next continent that we're going to be exploring, being Paldea. Mm-hmm. I didn't look into the anatomy of that word as to whether it's, because it tends to be like the word is kind of related to the overall theme of the, you know, for example, Alola was like kind of Hawaiian themed in the Moon and Sun version and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so I didn't look into that, but I wonder if that is something, you know.
Yeah. What did you say it is? Caldea, is it?
No, Paldea.
Paldea, okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Mm. Maybe there's something there I don't know enough about, because I think the whole theme of this next kind of, you know, Pokemon game is going to be kind of Spanish themed. So I wonder if there's some kind of Spanish undertone there lore-wise. Yeah. But yeah, interesting. Now, look, off topic a little bit, but we're on topic. But so, Grizz, the legendary Pokemon that have been showing up on both the covers of each game, they are these big kind of lizardy looking Pokemon. One kind of looks like it's from the Stone Age. One kind of looks like it's from the future. And that kind of differentiation there is the differentiation in the versions you have, which are essentially the time in which those stories take place, kind of, I believe. But those particular Pokemon, Corridon and Mirrodon, I don't know how I'm pronouncing that correctly, but anyways, they basically look like lizard motorbikes. And you literally, pretty much from the start of the game, you can start riding them around. This is interesting, Grizz. Pav is saying Paldea may be derived from pal, friend or ally, and dea being educational learning, which is interesting because the game is, and I'm telling you what, when I was watching the trailer, I was just thinking fucking Hogwarts because the whole thing takes place in a school. So Paldea, friend, school, right?
Done.
I'm telling you, Grizz, there it is.
You're all over it, mate.
We cracked it, mate.
We cracked the code.
You heard it here first.
We'll wait. As you see them riding these legendary Pokemon, mate, they're flying. They're skiing. They're like a jet ski on the water, like all sorts of things. What are your thoughts, mate, on the use of these Pokemon to traverse the environments?
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool, man. Like, I think, you know, because they've had these kinds of things in previous games, obviously. You know, you'd either have your water Pokemon that would have the special move that moves you through the water, or, you know, another Pokemon has the rock smash. But, you know, so you've got a one Pokemon fits all kind of thing. And I think that works well. I don't know. I think it looks pretty funny.
A bit fucking lame, man, in my personal opinion. I don't know if you've seen the footage of him riding the bike, like motorcycle, but the Pokemon is also running while it's got the wheels that are running.
That's the freaking Flintstone effect, mate. You know when the Flintstones take off in their car, they have wheels on that car, but they got to use their legs to get moving, mate. So I don't know. It looks interesting. Now, Grizz, the first thing I thought when I saw this trailer was, holy fuck, it is just like Arceus. So close to Arceus. Yeah,
did you think the detail on the environments is similar?
I would say the graphics a bit better, but pretty similar. Textures. I think a lot of Arceus was a little bit kind of washed out, and I think that was by kind of artistic design,
we saw some ice landscapes, Cap. We saw a couple of Gyarados swimming through the water. We saw some like foresty kind of land and a bit of desert kind of themes. So were all those kind of areas in Arceus, was it similar, pretty similar kind of areas?
I think, I'm just looking at like the trailer now. Yeah, a lot of the areas do kind of mimic sort of things that you could, places you could go in Arceus. Mm. I just think the town obviously is a lot more vibrant, which is good because I feel like there wasn't an awful lot of vibrancy in Arceus in just the color palettes and stuff that they were utilizing. I don't know.
I remember we spoke about this when they first announced this open world Violet, Scarlet, Peace, Cap, and our kind of takeaway on this was we hope that they used a lot of things that they've designed for Arceus to kind of build upon what they had there and add a few more details to the open world environment and kind of build off that formula they've got successfully.
I think this is what Pokemon has needed to be for ages. This is absolutely what Pokemon needed to be. Like, you know, we have so many examples of open world games now, and for Pokemon to have taken this long to get its shit together to, you know, explore this avenue of game design, I just can't believe it's taken this long to get to there. Now, it's going to be interesting to see how they go with, and we've spoken about this before on the podcast as well, but, you know, obviously having each of these little Pokemon in this game, each one needs a different character model, each one has a different moveset. How do we animate every single different move in this game? There's probably thousands of different moves in this game, I would assume. Unique animations, unique graphics. God damn, it must be a fucking nightmare, Grizz, as a developer. Holy shit.
Hopefully they can grab what they've kind of pulled from Arceus as well and maybe apply some of that. But, I definitely see, you know, how do they do it effectively and not break the Nintendo Switch? They've got a bounding box of dated bit of kit as well, Cap. So how do they, you know, optimize it to make it run and feel nice.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. There were some performance issues, I think, with Arceus. Like, you know, certain times you would get too close to boundaries and you'd have this fog that would appear that kind of would reduce your field of view and stuff. It doesn't seem like there's much of that happening in the trailer, but you never fucking know. When you're super far away from stuff, like the FPS of far away Pokemon was like real bad. It was like one flat.
I reckon it's still going to be the same, Pokemon. Dude.
Oh, surely for sure. Yeah. mean, they're going to have to do something like that just to, I mean, again, dude, the Switch, man, I can't believe they're still running this goddamn console. But I was kind of thinking about this the other night, Grizz, like it makes sense that, you know, maybe if we hadn't had this massive silicon shortage and all this other bullshit happen, maybe Nintendo might have tried to do a Switch Pro. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. But maybe they might have tried to have done this a little bit earlier to get another console out. But I can't see them doing anything with the Switch for a while, which sucks. I think we're stuck with this cave device that we've still got. But
Cap, there was a bit of a so they're talking about in the trailer this idea of treasure hunt. It's through the titles and different bits and pieces. You've like you've seen a bit of an auditorium with your school friends, as you were kind of saying, and then it's almost like a some kind of treasure hunt happening. What's your take on that, mate? How do you think that's gonna kind of work?
To be honest, dude, I think like okay, so for those who haven't seen the trailer, it looks like most of the game takes part at, you're like a student at a school and, you know, all these leaders, they may be like, I don't know, they almost kind of look like they're school teachers and they operate their own gyms, but all of the people in your class, you seem to knock around with them. And I'm thinking this treasure hunt thing is going to be tied to the school. It's very Hogwartsy, dude. Like some of the shit in the trailer is like, you know, it kind of evoked these memories of Harry Potter where they had the bowls mixing themselves in the air and stuff. And they've literally got that kind of thing happening in the trailer. As the treasure hunt. Yeah. I don't know. It's probably just going to be some plot device that they use to get you to find your Pokemon. I dare say.
You see a bunch of random Pokemon at the end that are cut into segments that look like they have different kind of aura and weird effects on them. I'd be interested to know what your thoughts on those. Is that something to do with the treasure? Like, can you find Pokemon that have, is that shinies or like, what is that?
That would kind of make sense because they've got this new thing called terrestrialization, which basically, so they've always had some kind of gimmick with each of these Pokemon games, right? So I know one of those games was like those, what was it? Sword and Shield was like the big raid, massive, like Gigantamax.
Gigantamax Pokemon, yeah.
Yeah, so the Pokemon would go huge. And so this seems to be its version of Gigantamax or whatever it was called. And so basically your Pokemon becomes like a gem. And so it goes all shiny and it gets like this weird little headpiece on its head. And then, you know, that I think the whole idea is that it basically super buffs its attack power for that particular element or some shit. So I also believe, Grizz, that each Pokemon has a different terrestrialization type. And those types are bound to your Pokemon. But some Pokemon can have multiple different types, it could be. So, for example, Eevee could be like a different, you know, you could get an Eevee that's a grass one and an Eevee that's a water one. And ideally, right, is that you'd then evolve your Eevee to be Vaporeon and it would be water terrestrialization, I guess, would be the idea. I would think because then that would give you more min-max on the stats and stuff. I think that's kind of what I kind of understood it to be. Pav, is that kind of what you're thinking?
How I read into it, based on the very little information we have, obviously, that every Pokemon has its own terrestrialization type, but that can be any type, not necessarily one of its actual types. So it may have the properties of
that's what I meant.
Something else, completely something else.
Dude, that's sick. That's going to make it cool. And to add the terraform, the terra thing, type, does that change its move set or abilities that it can
use? Well, that's the thing. We're not 100% sure yet. We don't think.
Could be wrong, to be honest.
It definitely seems like it gives it some advantage in battle, obviously. And it goes very shiny, glittery. Looks mental. But I think the cool thing, Grizz, is I'm very excited for multiplayer Pokemon Shizzle.
Yeah.
Because you can have up to four players scooting around in the open world doing raid, kind of terror raid battles, which is, you know, you find these big gems and then your character goes up to the gem and then there's a special terror Pokemon inside the gem. And then it kind of has a Pokemon Go style raid where you can attack this Pokemon at your own pace. Like you just keep firing shit at it and then you guys eventually defeat the Pokemon, which I don't know. It makes me wonder whether it's going to trivialize those battles because they are just going to be like people just pumping attack moves against it. But yeah, it looks really interesting. Now, the other thing, Grizz, is it seems like Pokemon's expanding its kind of story a bit more this time. So not only is there kind of a main storyline, there's two extra storylines that you can complete in any order. So three main storylines that you can complete in any kind of order in the game. Now, I think the thing that interests me, Grizz, is it seems like both the versions have a different kind of theme. Obviously, they're both sort of set in this kind of Spanish-themed world, but it seems like the Scarlet version is kind of more primitive, or elements of primitive kind of caveman kind of shit going on, and then the other version, Violet, tends to be a bit more futuristic with its elements. So, like, even if you look at the Pokemon themselves, like the legendary Pokemon, the Scarlet Pokemon looks a little bit more primitive and it walks on its feet, whereas the other one, Mirrodon or whatever it's called, the Violet version Pokemon, legendary one, it kind of, you know, it has all these lights and shit on it. It looks like it's a fucking, I don't know, some futuristic vehicle. So it's going to be interesting to see how they, like, is it going to be some weird kind of cross-dimensional thing? Do you think, Pav, maybe timeline thing going on?
Look, I have no idea. I'm pretty certain that it, like, both games are going to have both of those elements, but I'm not sure. Like, we have no idea. Could literally be anything. I want to believe that it just depends on, like, this areas of the map. So keep it simple. I don't know.
Some rift in time, something, some weird timey wimey shit going on.
Yo, if it was a rift, that would tie into Arceus as well.
True, actually. Yeah, good point. Story wise, for sure. But yeah, I think that kind of covers the majority of stuff that was shown. But yeah, very. Mm. I don't know. Did you get the Hogwarts vibe, Pav? Like,
I didn't. I think you might have watched another trailer that I didn't see that side of it.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't surprise me. I think they are It looks like they're going into the direction of like creating like a quest system, and like that doesn't surprise me. I'm sure you're not too far off the.
I was looking at a lot of the extended trailer seemed to have a lot of stuff set in the classroom. All of the people that you kind of knock around with are like classmates. So yeah, anyways, the first thing you'd evoke for me was like, holy shit, there is a lot of fucking, there's a lot of Hogwarts shit going on here. But yeah, anyways, moving along, Grizz.
Hogwarts is a popular thing, Capo. You may as well leverage off it.
Oh shit, yeah, absolutely. Now the final item from the Pokemon stuff was Pokemon Cafe Remix, Grizz. Have you fucking seen this? You have any idea this existed?
No, absolutely no idea. This is completely new to me, mate. Hey, before you say this, dude, did you know that video, dude, this Pokemon Present had 3.2 million views?
Yeah, like, that doesn't surprise me.
That's fucking massive,
that's
mate.
That's a lot. It's Pokemon, dude. It is massive, you know? That game is huge. Now, Pokemon Cafe Remix, Grizz. Mewtwo's coming to Pokemon Cafe Remix. Now, what is Pokemon Cafe Remix? It's some weird Pokemon Cafe game, and the mini game revolves around like a Tetris style bejeweled kind of game thing going on. You kind of match little Pokemon heads in this little board, and then they pop and you get points, and I guess it kind of somehow adds shit to your cafe.
This is a free to start puzzle game. Why is it a free to start game?
I reckon it will be I don't know, but I would imagine it's probably because the first couple of levels are free and then maybe you've got to pay money to play the rest of the game. Mm. So it's kind of like a demo. It's a game with a demo, and the tutorial is probably the demo. So, but it looks like you can train Pokemon and,
it kind of looks like a game my wife plays a lot called Bakery Story. Very similar thing. You have a bakery and you've got to, like, cook stuff and you expand your bakery out and people come in and you got to feed them and bits and pieces. Like, it's kind of like this is a mobile game, right, Cap?
It looks like one to me. I have no fucking idea and I probably will never find out because I can't see myself playing this thing. it looks like, it still follows the standard Pokemon tropes where you level up your Pokemon, but I think they work in all your Pokemon work in a cafe. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's on the Switch and it's on mobile, so there you go, Chris. Okay. There's a bunch of shit coming to Pokemon Cafe Remix for all you cafe aficionados out there. So that's pretty much all of the Pokemon Presents presentation. So pretty keen on that Pokemon Scarlet and Violet version. I'm definitely going to be playing some freaking Pokemon with you fellas, for sure. Yeah.
Looks good,
man. That's going to be fucking sick.
Love it.
Very keen. All right, now Grizz, Electronic Arts, our good friends, incredibly talented.
Not shady.
Haven't been voted the worst company in America multiple times in a row. Mm-hmm. Was that EA? I think it was EA. Or was it Activision? Can't remember. Some shit's going down, Grizz. Shit's going down. Okay. Now, do you want me to tell you what happened?
I'd love to
tell you what happened. So basically, EA updated its guidelines for The Sims. I think it's Sims 4. So they basically changed their policy and updated it such that the following can now not happen. So you cannot. Now, where is it here? Yeah, one second. I fucking lost it, Grizz. Where am I?
It's gone.
So here we go. The Sims 4 custom content creators are no longer allowed to promote mods in a way that suggests they are endorsed by or affiliated with The Sims, Maxis, or Electronic Arts. As such, creators are prohibited from using any game logos, trademarks, including versions of the Plum Bob, which is the Sim logo, or key art designs. Look, that's fine. I totally understand that, because if you've got some person creating, like, sex mods or something, you probably don't want people to be selling that on your behalf. So I understand that. Now, the one that is a little bit more controversial, a lot more controversial, is the following. According to the post, all content created by modders must now be distributed to the public free of charge. Mods can no longer be sold, licensed, or rented for a fee, nor can they contain features that support monetary transactions of any type. EA added that creators are free to recoup their development costs by running ads on their websites to generate revenue and donations, just as long as whatever in-game content they create is not behind a paywall.
Okay. Is this shady or is this okay, Cap? What's the takeaway here?
The big issue is they've just dropped this on a community that has a lot of people that make money and a living off creating mods for this game. And they've done that completely without any kind of community insight. So they basically just dropped it on people. You know, there's one person in this article who says that, they basically completely supplement their income with mod creation and Patreon, and it basically enables them to look after their disabled father, and so they're kind of fucked now because they've got no income support.
I'm in two minds about this. This is the first time that I didn't research this story at all, but just hearing you explain it to me, I don't know, man. Like, it's kind of when you've created a game and you're a dev and you've created this game and people are using it outside of the bounds of, I guess, the platform that it's supposed to be used in and making money off it, that isn't going to the devs and everything else. And yeah, but I guess
are still going to persist regardless of this change. And Grizz, also, The Sims 4 came out in 2014, dude. Why have they waited this long to do it?
But someone's making money off someone else's IP and stuff. And an example of a way that this is done probably maybe correctly, and maybe they've gone a bit too harsh on this, is the way that Roblox does it, where same thing, you make mods, right? But you spend the Robux inside the mod creator gets a cut of the Robux spent inside the mod. The rest goes to Roblox company, whatever else. So there's like a split system, a cut in there for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they took it too far, but yeah, I don't know. This is an interesting one.
I think the problem is, Grizz, is that they have not. I don't know. They've got a community. Like, I think the whole idea as to why this game is still really popular today is because it has a really strong modding community, right? And I feel like they've completely circumvented them in the conversation of them performing this change, right? And it's a pretty significant change. Like, okay, let me. So here we go. Quite a few content creators who are choosing to maintain their current business practices. One is Felix Andre, one of the most popular Sims 4 content creators, who has 4,433 Patreons, all contributing at least $5 a month. Okay. Mm. Now, there's other people in similar kind of cohort sizes that have this. Dude, you just turn off that. I mean, these people are making a lot of money. But there's people who make probably just enough to get by, and like this person, I'm missing their name, but I don't know. I feel like when you've got people that have made money off this game, I get it. It's their intellectual property. But yeah. I would have thought when they are really pumping your game in a way that maintains this community that, you know, I would assume would also probably ensure that other sales are coming later on down the track, you know, for your game that is almost 7 years old now. You know,
would you pay for a Super Mario World ROM hack?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure would.
You would. Yeah. So I'm just making this definition here. Super Mario World ROM hacks are all free. No one has any Patreon. People make those for the love of creating that game. And I understand that people have maybe built their livelihoods around that, but maybe that's the problem. Maybe they shouldn't have done that. It's not your intellectual property. People that create Super Mario World ROM hacks do it for the love of it. They do it, and people enjoy those games. And I'm just seeing it from a completely different perspective.
I suppose it comes down to where do you start drawing that line, though, Grizz? Because people go and stream on Twitch and share video footage of games that other people have created and make money off that content.
Yeah.
Where do you draw that line?
We've been pretty lucky. I mean, because we get hit for, playing other music on Twitch, which is essentially the same thing. I think with gaming, it's just like we've been pretty lucky to be able to do that. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe there will come a time and a place. And like you say, we said at the start of this stream, Cap, that Twitch is probably a good thing for devs. It sells X amount of copies of games and bits and pieces just by having them on that platform. And like you say, maybe that's the same for Sims. Maybe they're shooting themselves in the foot here, where if these guys are going to turn away from Sims and creating content for it, maybe the game will die and they won't get the sales and bits and pieces they need. So
I think now Ho and Honey in chat saying, you know, they did say that they can, you know, use ad revenue, but I mean, that's a drop in the ocean, in all honesty. You make fuck all money off ads. I'm telling you right now. You'd be lucky to make, you know, 0.001 cent for every visit that you get on your website. And, you know, anyways, it's definitely not a one-to-one ratio, that's for bloody sure, especially for some of these smaller creators. But look, I think it's just a bit dodgy of EA to just kind of drop this on people. I thought maybe they might have been like, hey, guess what? You know, we're thinking of doing this, and you need to be prepared for this because we're going to do it and we're not going to just drop it on you. Maybe have a bit more of a conversation about that. I think, honestly, people will probably just continue to do it, and maybe this is just a legal thing that they now need to say. Will it mean that they go after people? That's the big question. I think some of these people that have thousands of Patreons are probably going to be pretty fucking worried. I would be if I was them. But I don't know. I think if it was me, I would probably try and reword what I'm doing. Maybe say, hey, I don't know, want to support me and me creating further content, yada, yada, yada. Yeah. That's how you're going to have to do it.
Surely there's some way that you can kind of word it to, you know.
Yeah.
Your donation is towards me and not towards the content I create. You know, something got to know, something like that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there's ways you can get around it. Obviously, I'm not too sure how you go about distributing your mod, because now those mods have to be freely available, and there's no incentive for people to pay you for them. But I'm sure there'll be people that still do support these people. So hopefully those people that are kind of relying a bit more on this cash, because you know, I just read that initial story. I just thought, fuck, that's brutal. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things progress in time, and I'm sure that we'll bring you some updates. There has been an update just saying in an email to GameSpot, EA confirmed that the modders are permitted to continue using early access periods. So they can utilize, like if they're building a mod, they could get people to pay for early access and then go from there. Okay. But once it becomes, you know, actually finished, then they would have to be free to play, I guess. So yeah, there you freaking go.
There you go, sir.
All right. Now, another thing they did, Riz, is they accidentally introduced incest into The Sims 4, and they quickly removed it. So there's not really much to say about this. Just the fact that apparently you could have a relationship with your sibling.
So, oh, my God.
And then they had to quickly remove that with a patch. So, yeah, pretty fucking crazy. But, yeah, so that's that one as well. Now, the one final thing that I want to talk about with EA, Grizz, was now EA don't have a fucking great track record when it comes to talking about single-player games, and we'll get into that in a second. But they released this tweet saying there are 10, but they only like playing single-player games. That was their tweet.
What? Which is basically just taking a dump on single player games, man.
Who the fuck greenlit that tweet, dude? The companies this size have huge PR departments. Who actually thought that was a fucking good idea? I just do not understand. I really don't. It's just so dumb. Dumbest fucking tweet you could write.
They got a lot of backlash, hey, Cap?
They did big time. And they got fully fucking roasted because they've done other stupid shit in the past when it comes down to this. Now, they did respond saying, roast well-deserved, because people just got stuck right into them. And I said, we'll take the L because playing single-player games actually makes them an 11.
That's a big old backpedal there, mate. Yeah, Opposite ends. Now, just for context, I guess, it's kind of weird coming from them, Cap, because they've copped a lot of shit about really poor monetization in their multiplayer games and, you know, poor implementation of monetization, Battlefront being the classic look at that one. What was that other MMO that failed? Is it Anthem? Is that EA as well, Anthem?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it? Anthem. Oh, no, it was BioWare, which I think EA. Anthem game. Let's just find out real quick.
So
where are we? BioWare, who are owned by...
Shitting on single player games, and they've got
the best reply in here was by a guy called Paul Tassi, who is a journalist for Forbes, and he said, understandably you are unfamiliar with the concept of tens, which I thought was fucking amazing. But yeah, they got fucking thoroughly roasted and well deserving of it. So but the thing is, Chris, this is not the first time they said dumb shit like this. And this is also coming from a company that did incredibly well with their most recent Star Wars game.
Is the controversy worth the clicks?
Probably.
Is this the Janet Jackson pop your titty out on stage EA move here, mate?
It could, maybe it is. I don't know. It's probably one of their more popular tweets in most recent time. Probably just because they went full dingus. But now. Here's one thing they said a while back, and this was in 2017. This was noted. So EA closed down Visceral Games, and Visceral, I believe, worked on Dead Space. And I tell you what, when they said this, it pissed me off because I fucking loved Dead Space, and it really fucking drove a stake into my heart because I was like, fuck you guys, how dare you, when you've killed Dead Space, you completely fucked it with microtransactions, and you say shit like this. They basically, you know, just to kind of, you know, air quote this, they basically said, people don't really enjoy linear games as much today. And it's like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? They just keep doing it. They keep stepping in their own shit. They keep dropping a shit and stepping and walking backwards into it. You know, so they're not doing a particularly good job. But yes, anyways, I just wanted to kind of bring up the fact that yes, EA received an incredibly well deserved roast. So there you
roasted
go. A lot of
Did you comment on that EA thread, shit. Cap? Did you comment on that thread, mate?
No, I didn't, mate. I'm just still so livid that they killed Dead Space. So they are bringing it back.
How could they do this?
But how could you possibly do this to my boy? So there you go. Now, Grizz, that pretty much covers all of our main topics. So let's jump into our quick fire round. So these are all of the news stories that we probably don't really want to go too in-depth with, but just kind of want to bring to your attention. And we might do one after another, Grizz. I'll do the first one. You can do the second one. How's that sound?
Sounds good, mate. Yep, let's do it.
All right. So first one off the rack. Call of Duty removes a skin from its skin store, Call of Duty Warzone, big floofy fucking Samoyed dog skin that you could get for your Call of Duty Warzone character, because they reportedly plagiarized it. So this person, Salen, basically said, came out and said, hey, this is a design that I did a while back, and they've just pinched the whole fucking lot. And it's insanely similar. I'm going to post it in the chat for people just so they can see just how similar
cheeky
the design
buggers.
Is.
Did I reckon like devs steal so much shit over the course of...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But it's like a one-to-one, dude. It is crazy.
Is it? Is it close? Is that the never look? Oh, yeah, look at that. Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. Well, fair enough. Fair enough there, Cap.
Yeah. Cray, cray. Super cray, cray.
I dare say. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well.
So yeah, there you go. They plagiarized. They pulled it down, and but it kind of just opens up this bigger argument of just plagiarism in general. But kind of shitty.
Speaking about Call of Duty, Cap, did you know Activision's active player base has fallen below 100 million for the first time since 2019? So this is the Activision's monthly active users, the lowest in 3 years. So what do you reckon this is, Cap? Is this people have to play other games?
Because it's obviously across the board, like, Grizz. So, I mean, it's not only just Call of Duty, but it's things like World of Warcraft would be, you know, not doing particularly well at the moment, I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that, you know, a lot of the Blizzard IPs are doing amazingly in terms of, you know, multiple people playing at the same time. But, it doesn't really surprise me. I think they've got a fair bit on the horizon still coming out, Grizz. And probably, you know, Warzone, they're waiting on a big update, like the next... They've actually got another Warzone coming out, right? So people are probably just taking a bit of a cooler and just waiting for the next content.
I feel like that is a significant amount.
That is a lot of people, mate.
Call of Duty has, especially Modern Warfare, has had the market share in terms of those kind of semi-realistic first-person shooters for a while. So expect it to be pretty high.
Absolutely. Now, Grizz, the next one, a $20,000 Halo bounty was won by a Twitch streamer completing a near impossible no death all skulls run on Halo 2.
Wait,
which
so what is this $20,000 right. Halo bounty? What is this, Cap?
Okay, so Critical, who is a Twitch streamer, very, very popular Twitch streamer, offered a bounty of $20,000 to, you know, whoever could basically complete this particular challenge. So I think, like, basically legendary difficulty is the maximum difficulty of the game. He managed to do a no-death run of legendary difficulty with all the skulls on.
Nuts.
Now, skulls are like, they're modifiers, right? So I think from memory, I think, like, for example, like your camo and stuff, you can see through, like, the enemies can see through your camo. You know, enemies have more health. They're better at aiming, all that kind of shit. Basically, it makes the
That's
game
cool, dude.
Insanely difficult.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, not that he died, but I think there's also, you know, if you die, the entire level progress gets reset. So, but yeah, this guy's managed to play the entire Halo 2 on Legendary with all skulls enabled. And, basically fucking
got
made
him.
A bit of fucking spondoolies whilst
Couple
he was
of
at
spondools
it.
In the old pocket, hey?
Yep. Yep.
There you
it
go.
Was quite nuts. So, yeah.
So, Cap, one of PS5's flagship features will be discontinued later this year because no one's using it, and it is the Accolades. So these were introduced on the new-gen console as a way of players to acknowledge each other's efforts in online games. The function enabled you to award teammates and opponents badges based on their play style to say things like, you were helpful, you were great, other bits and pieces. This is being removed. Now, this is interesting, dude, because this sounds pretty cool. I wonder if it was just like people just didn't use it. or didn't use it correctly.
Yeah, it must be. Do you know what, Grizz? There's a lot of stuff in the PlayStation like ecosystem that I just don't use. Like I just press play on my game. I don't do any of the social stuff. Yeah. I know that a lot of people use their consoles in a lot more of a social media kind of sense, but dude, for the most part, like I didn't even know what the fuck accolades were.
That's I think that comes down to like almost like marketing it effectively or having it somewhere. Yeah. I didn't know it existed.
I think it's user experience as well, Grizz, like from a development standpoint. If you don't implement it in a way that, I don't know, is going to be super usable and give people a reason to use it, they're probably just not going to use it. Spork makes a good comment in chat just saying, players not appreciating others. What a surprise. Yes, absolutely.
I can tell where they're coming from here. I feel like this is like a, you know how Reddit has come out with the different awards on posts and bits and pieces that most helpful, and even the way that Steam reviews work has a very similar accolade system for that. But Sony has gone and said here, Sony recently pointed out that the engagement across its consoles has been much lower than anticipated of late, and that it's working to increase the amount of playtime owners invest across the consoles. So, yeah, interesting one.
Yeah, very interesting, mate.
Dude, I haven't turned my PS5 on for weeks now. What about you?
I turned it on yesterday because... Now, what did I turn it on? I can't remember why I turned it on. I think I just wanted to download the free games or some shit. But yeah, I haven't played my PS5 much in a while. Basically since Elden Ring came out. So, yeah. All right. Now, Grizz, the Resident Evil franchise is coming to Dead by Daylight. So we're going to be getting classic fucking characters such as... what's his name? Wesker or some shit? Albert Wesker, the mastermind. Now, he's the bad guy in a fair few of them. Can't remember the exact ones. Ada Wong and Rebecca Chambers, the Raccoon City Police Department has also been announced as a map. It's been reworked.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyways, so Resident Evil coming to Dead by Daylight. Been a while since we played that game, Grizz.
Are we going to get that Lady Demist, whatever her name is, in there? Because that would be
surely.
Sick.
Yeah. It would. I don't know. Do you know what? When it comes to this kind of stuff, Grizz, it all comes down to licensing, right? So, depending on the licensing constraints of certain characters, it will depend on whether they'd allow them to go into other IPs and stuff. And to be honest, they probably gave them these characters because they're, they can control the IP a little bit better. And, you know, the Miscreo or whatever her name was, big booby lady, she was so popular. It probably would be smart for them to retain that in a way that they can have a bit more control over what she does. And I actually think the new DLC, you play as her in the next.
You do, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. People get excited about that one, mate.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Now, you'll find this one interesting, Capo, and I'll find this one interesting as well, mate. But Microsoft is giving the Xbox Series S game developers more control over memory on the console. So this is apparently built into the dev kit. Released to developers recently, and it adds more memory for game dev bits and pieces. What does this mean as a developer, Cap? So have they always shortcut the amount of memory that they can use in their developing games? Is it, or how does?
Well, it's an interesting one. In all honesty, Grizz, it would make me think that they've probably freed up memory. I don't know. The fact that they can have more control over the memory, maybe. Whatever they use to basically click into the memory part of the Xbox, I don't know whether that means that they've actually, they can't give it more memory because it has a fixed amount of memory. So what have they done instead? I assume they've either changed the firmware in a way that makes it a little bit more easily readily available, or maybe they've freed some of the memory up in from the operating system or something like that. But
I read this a totally different way than you did. I read this as when they give the dev kit to the developer, they're basically
this is like the Xbox Series S now has effectively an improved memory management for developers, I guess.
Very cool. Yeah.
It's a little bit more kind of useful for them. But, and I mean, this is the Series S, so that's the previous gen console, so you know, I think that'll be good overall because it'll hopefully, I mean, it's not going to bring the distance between the Series X and the Series S much closer, but it, I mean, a little bit's always good. So those are people who can't get their hands on the next gen console and are stuck with an S or whatever, or they've made the decision just to stick with an S. Yeah, your games are going to run slightly better.
Yeah, so this gives developers more control over memory, which can improve graphic performance in memory constrained conditions.
Yep. Very fucking cool. Pretty cool. Now, Grizz, RuneScape alters its PvP to be opt-in, which, may I say, is crazy.
So what did you just have to do? Opt out? Say, well, I don't want to be in PvP.
Yeah, you were always opted in. You couldn't opt out.
Yeah, that's right. That's like you go to the wilderness and you get wrecked by
and you get smacked. Yeah. So now you can go into the wilderness and just not. Also, just a quick, backpedal on our own. We're doing an EA here. I think apparently the S is this gen. I got confused. I think it looks like it's the discless model, which actually is kind of more interesting. Why does the Series S have less efficient memory than the X? I don't know. Weird. I don't know enough about the Xbox consoles, because I just have a PC that does the same job as having a Microsoft thing. But yeah. Anyways, back to RuneScape, Grizz. It's now opt-in. So you can go into the wilderness and just cruise around, fight monsters in there, because there are some stuff that you can do in there that is kind of, you know, PvE. So now the PvP is...
I wonder if this is going to divide some of the RuneScape nerds. Now that people can get a free ride in the wilderness and not have to,
I mean, I'm not too sure. It'll be interesting to see what they do. Maybe they then go down the track of introducing PvP and PvE servers, Grizz. I don't know.
It'll
be interesting to see what they do.
Kind of does that.
Yeah. But yeah, all right. Grizz, over to you.
Big news here. Nintendo has bad news for fans expecting a Switch Pro console. A news report about Nintendo's financial outlook is bad news for fans hoping for a console anytime soon. For years now, rumors have persisted that Nintendo is going to release an upgraded version of the Switch, referred to as the Switch Pro. Unfortunately, this doesn't look like it's going to happen. The current fiscal year ends March 2023, so the soonest Nintendo could launch a Nintendo Switch console would be some point after that. This means anyone in the market for a Switch console models, so
yeah, so it kind of seems like Grizz. I mean, obviously, we've had no news about the Switch Pro, but it has been rumored here and there, and like, you know, there were patents and shit coming out. But it sales are down for the Switch, slightly. Which I mean, if that continues a trend, maybe then they'll start to go, maybe we should release some more stuff so we can make some more money.
They did the OLED thing, they've done the OLED release and bits and pieces, but.
I don't know, Grizz. Fuck, I just don't. This console, man, it is. When did this? What was it? 2017 it came out or something? Switch release.
We've got shiny Xboxes and PlayStation 5s too now, Cap, so it's going to be hard. I will say, dude, in terms of I mean, we're not going to get the Steam Deck here yet, Cap. There is a Steam Deck alternative, though, isn't there? That we can
there
get
here?
There is
one. I can't remember what it's called, but it's some weird generic version. Actually, another thing that was announced recently, Grizz, just off the top of my head, is Tencent, which is a game development kind of, they're like the Kirby of the game development world. They just suck up fucking other game studios and then spit them out. They're teaming up with Logitech to build a purely cloud-based handheld device.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting.
On the interwebs. They just use...
On the interwebs, my good friend. Cool. But yeah, so... But yeah, so in the interim, Grizz, we have the Deb is saying the Aya Neo, which is actually slightly better than the Steam Deck, but I think that's in terms of raw performance. When it comes to, well, I don't know who creates it, but I would assume that Steam would probably have a more optimized experience for Steam. But I mean, who fucking knows? Who bloody knows, mate? But yeah, so anyways, we're not getting a Switch Pro for a while, if at all. So that's all there is to it. Now, Grizz, this is hot fucking breaking news. Evo, the fighting game tournament that happens most years, They released a what appears to be a Tekken 8 teaser trailer, which has now I don't know the fucking guys.
Tekken 8. Wow.
Tekken 8. I'm going to drop the trailer in in the Twitch chat for everyone, but yeah, it's basically like it looks like Tekken 1, one of the early Tekken games, and the main character, I can't fucking remember his name, drops like a dude off a cliff and then grins at the camera, and then it morphs into modern day next level Mad Dog graphics of the same guy smirking, and it looks pretty fucking cool.
Oh man,
Kazuya, he's in Super Smash Brothers. How did I not remember that?
That was a very good trailer. Did I just watch that? That was pretty effective marketing, right?
Very, very cool trailer. Big fan of that. If you haven't gone and seen the Tekken 8 teaser trailer yet, and you probably wouldn't have because it literally came out like, what's this, like hours ago or some shit? Yeah, very, very well done. Blending the old with the new. So, that's the final little piece that we added just there at the last minute. Thanks to Dabiru Man for bringing that to our attention. But, guys, that's everything we have to bring you. As always, we bloody appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Or if you're listening to this live, appreciate all you freaking legends. People like Dabiru Man, Sporklin, Kamikaze Cracker, Straight Jacket Jim, Ho and Honey, Arik, Sukai, and more. Appreciate you legends. Thank you for hanging out. And Lee GD, of course. As always, thank you for consuming the content. We thoroughly enjoy bringing it to you. Now, as always, just want to say thanks to our Patreons again. If you would like to become a Patreon and support this podcast further and help put money towards Pav's ailing motherboard, you can do so by jumping onto patreon.com and looking up Oceanic Gaming Radio. If you want to, you can also join our Discord. We have all kinds of topics and banter in there that, it's a freaking Discord. Get in here and say good day. You can talk to us directly, which is pretty fucking radical. Now, on top of that, we also have a Twitter. That is twitter.com/OGRshow. We post a poll every week, as we've mentioned numerous times. You know the drill. Go in there and vote. Go and join. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Twitch. But other than that, I think that's pretty much everything. Hopefully the audio issues were ironed out. I think no. Pav is shaking his damn head. Okay, so maybe it wasn't your computer. Okay. Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyways, appreciate all you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Any final words, Grizzly, before I Kazuya slam you in Tekken 8 or 9 or whatever it is?
All good from me. Great episode, boys.
Yeah, yep. As always, guys, thanks for being here. Appreciate you. We'll see you next time on Oceanic Gaming Radio. Bye.
See you later.